really don't know. Let me look here.
Career time announcements.
I'm playing the drums on one of the songs. But yeah, you can do this. Yeah, go for it.
Now it's time for the announcements.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Great to see you here this morning at Pathway of Hope. If this is your first time here with us today and you're not just a few weeks old, in your worship guide is a connection card. It looks like this. If you would fill this out with your information and place it in the offering plate when it comes by in a few minutes, that would be terrific. We're just going to get a little bit of information about you. One big announcement I want to tell you about. Next weekend is our big 2-on-2 basketball tournament, and this is your last opportunity to sign up for it. So there's a sign-up sheet at the resource table on your way out the door. Sign up there to play basketball next Saturday morning at Wilson School, 7 to 9:30. And we probably won't need the Sunday afternoon time. I think we can get it all done on Saturday morning before the heat hits. So next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. is our 2-on-2 basketball tournament. So sign up on your way out the door. It's $20. It's a fundraiser for our building fund. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So we want you guys to participate. And so get on out there, guys, and help us out. It's going to be a lot of fun. A few other things going on in your worship guide is a pathway happenings sheet. Looks like this. There's a few things going on, especially for kids. We've got Kinder Day Camp coming up for those kids that are just getting out of kindergarten. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's coming up June 23rd through the 25th in the mornings. $5, and it's going to be at one of the local parks. And so that's going to be a blast. And we want you guys, if you have kids that are that age, we want you guys to participate in that. And there's lots of other information there in your worship guide also. Make sure you read through it and find out what is happening for you. We're going to worship the Lord with his tithes and our offerings right now. Let me encourage you to give, because God commands us to give, and God will bless you if you give. I am an unpaid pastor, so what I say benefits me not at all. But let me tell you that if you give, God will bless you. We need to, in order to afford this facility, we need to raise our income level as a church. Part of that's going to happen as the church grows. Part of that is going to happen as we sacrifice and as we give above and beyond what we normally do, because God commands us to do that. And God will bless us if we do. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you do for us. Right now, we just lift up these tithes and offerings to you, Lord. We ask that you bless them and multiply them. Bless this church, Lord, and guide us as we move on this property up the street here. Give us wisdom as we do that, and Lord, just work out all the details according to your will, Father. We lift up these tithes and offerings to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
beautiful you are. Beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you'll always be. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you'll always be. I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. 'Cause you're worth it every moment, till the moment that I die. And even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you'll always be. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you are to me. Beautiful you are. Beautiful you'll always be. And I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. 'Cause you're worth it every moment, till the moment that I die. And even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, yeah. Oh, my everything. So I will praise you in the morning. I will lift your name on high. Oh, you're worth it every moment, till the moment that I die. And even when death takes this body, Lord, this soul will ever sing of your glory in the highest. For you are my everything, my everything.
Isn't that a great song? Isn't that just that a great song? Randy, nice job. You just wrote that this week. And I'm so honored that we can sing it already. We'll keep that in our repertoire, huh? Yeah, good job. And thank you all for praying for my dad, too. He's still in the hospital. There's swelling on his left leg. There's an infection on his foot, and it's just this big thing, and it's red, and it's not looking good right now. They've been giving him the strong dose of antibiotics, but the swelling is still there, so it looks like they're going to try to do something tomorrow, maybe an MRI, or I don't know if they can do that because of all of the pins in his body, but they're going to try to do something to figure out what's going on with that. But please, if you would, continue to pray for him. He also has this irregular heart, but he's trying to tell the doctors he's had it for years and years, and I told the doctor and my dad, well, that makes sense because sometimes he's really nice, sometimes he's mean. It's kind of a regular heart, but it's cool. He's still got his spirits. He's laughing. He's joking around. But if you want to stop by and see him, you're more than welcome to do so. He's at the Northwest Medical Center on Tangerine, room 219. But thank you so much for praying for him, and please continue. Let's continue to pray for him. In your bulletins, there's a note sheet. If you want to pull that out. This morning we're going to look at the parable of the lost sheep. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke 15, the first seven verses of Luke 15. There's a story about this little girl on the way home from church. She turned to her mom and said, "Mom, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." How many of you have said that? No. Don't raise your hand. Yeah, thanks. And the mother said, "Oh, now why is that?" And the girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" And the mom said, "Well, of course that's true. God is bigger than all of us." "Well, he also said," that the little girl said, "that God lives within us. Is that true too?" And again the mother replied, "Yes." "Well," said the little girl, "if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through?" It's actually a profound question. If it's true that God is bigger than us, but God lives in us, wouldn't he shine through? Wouldn't he show through? And the truth is, he would. And this morning, I want to talk to you about allowing Jesus to show through your life. And the way that he begins to show through more and more is we begin to think like he thinks. We begin to desire what God desires. We have the same goals and objectives that Jesus has. We're passionate about what Jesus is passionate about. And we know that Jesus is passionate about bringing salvation to people. In fact, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy this in 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then Paul, who is the most godly man that you see in the New Testament other than Jesus, Paul still confesses, "Of whom I am the worst." He says, but God came to save sinners. He came to save people from their sins. And then Jesus revealed his mission in the whole story with Zacchaeus and in Luke 19. And Jesus said, For the Son of Man came to save, to seek and to save what was lost. That's why Jesus came. That was his mission. It was to seek and to save those who don't know God. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose again. And if I'm going to think like Jesus, if I'm going to desire what Jesus desires and be passionate about what Jesus has passion for, I've got to rethink and reorder my priorities in life. I've got to reevaluate, really, what is really important to me and what is important to all of us. And we know this from Scripture, that what is important to God is people. It's at the top of the list. People matter to God. And we get a glimpse of this in Luke chapter 15. In fact, the occasion that Jesus told this parable, the religious leaders and the rabbis and the teachers of the law, they were in an argument. They were in a debate about who really matters to God. Who really matters to God? And Jesus, he became so wanting to get the point across who matters, that he didn't tell one parable. He didn't tell two. He tells three parables back to back. The only time in Scripture that you find this, he tells three parables in a row of who really matters to God. And let's read that first parable in Luke 15. And this is from the New International Version. And it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" It's almost like, ooh, I mean, how could he, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." There's 99 who feel that they got their lives, you know, they're in comfort zone. They feel that their lives is in not a need of repentance. There's more rejoicing over heaven over that one sinner who repents and turns his life to the Lord. And from this parable, we can learn a lot of things about the heart of God. And the first thing is this, is that Jesus values the lost. Jesus values the lost. See, we learn here that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did not value the lost. They had no value for the poor, for the outcast, for the despised. They had no value for those who were hurting, those who needed Jesus. In fact, they were mad that Jesus welcomed sinners such as tax collectors, those who the rest of society despised. Jesus valued them. And if one sheep is lost, that sheep is so valuable to the Lord that it warrants an all-out search for that one lost sheep. I have in my pocket this baseball eraser. I've shared this with some of you before, but this is just a cheap 5-cent eraser. But I've kept it near and dear to me the last 8 years because it matters a lot to me. Now, for some, it'd be easy just to, you know, you see something like this on the, say you saw that on the ground like that. You know, you might pick it up, put it in the trash, but you know what? I've guarded this thing. When I lived in Eureka, I packed up all my diplomas, put them in a box, but this eraser, I made sure that I got, you know, with me. I didn't want to lose it. And I remember when I moved from Eureka to Hayward, I opened up this little care package that I kept of all the important things. I put it right in my desk because it was just a reminder to me of the love of one person, just a stupid eraser. I should probably tell you the reason why it's so valuable, huh? But I'm not gonna. Okay, I need to drink water. No, it's almost silly. It's like, why would this race be so important? But it's because of the person who gave it to me. Just a little kindergarten girl who worked hard all week long in her kindergarten class, saved all of her chips. You know, when kids in kindergarten, when they're behaved well, when they do everything right, they get these chips, and then you can spend them and buy pencils or erasers or stickers. And it was my daughter, Bethany. She worked so hard to get this eraser because she knows I love baseball. And I remember the day she gave it to me. She got in the car and said, "Here, Dad." I was like, "Oh, okay, fine. What is this?" So I just kind of held it on. And we got home, and I said, "Bethany, here's your eraser." She said, "No, Dad, I got this eraser for you because I know you like baseball. I saved all my chips so I could get you this eraser." And so for some people, this is just a stupid eraser. Even with this story, it's still a stupid eraser. But to me, it's a reminder that, you know, my daughter loves me and cares for me. And I want to tell you this right now, though. Some people think of people as just an eraser. It's no big deal, you know. It's just a silly eraser. But for someone like God, that eraser means more to him than anything. He does not want to lose that eraser. He does not want that eraser to be damaged because of his love for what is worthless to some people. See what I'm saying? No one wants that eraser except maybe someone that's writing an essay and you need to do a lot of erasing. But most people here, you could care less about that. And that's the way the Pharisees were with people that were sinful, people that didn't know God. It was no big deal to them. But to God, it was a big deal. And I want to tell you, we've got to get that kind of heart to where people matter. Lost people that don't know the Lord, we've got to get to that place where they matter to us more than anything. Why? Because God loves them more than anything. And God loves the lost, and he wants them to be a part of his kingdom. That's the first clear thing we see in this parable. The second thing is this, is that Jesus takes the initiative to find the lost. Jesus is the one that is taking the initiative. See, in Jesus' day, the rabbis taught that God would receive sinners only if they sought out his forgiveness earnestly enough. If you worked really, really hard and you proved yourself to God, then God would welcome you. But here we find that God is the one, God is the shepherd in this parable, and he's the one that is seeking to make sure that lost sheep is found. And it's clear that he takes initiative. In the Bible, people are referred to as sheep. And we know why. It's because sheep aren't the smartest animals, you know. And they aren't able sometimes to find their way home, even if the sheepfold is within sight. But it may seem foolish for a shepherd to leave 99 sheep to go after that one lost sheep. But the shepherd, he knows that if the sheep are in the sheepfold, they're going to be okay. But that one lost sheep was in danger. That one lost sheep had wandered into a briar patch, or maybe was fallen off a steep mountainside and was, you know, unable to climb back up to safety. So if the lost sheep was in danger, shepherds would eagerly search for that sheep until they were found, and they would carry it safely back to the sheepfold. In the same way, it's the way God seeks lost people. In fact, we already said Luke 19:10. It's the crux of the gospel message that the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That was the whole mission of Jesus. When the Apostle Paul lived on earth, he adopted that same mission as his too. All throughout the New Testament, we learn about the zeal of the Apostle Paul to persuade people with the gospel, with the message of hope and salvation. In fact, it dominated the Apostle Paul's thinking. He had a one-track mind on the gospel. In fact, he said in Philippians, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And then he goes on to say that, but I must live so I can keep on sharing the gospel to those that don't know it. It just dominated his thinking. It reminds me of that story with this baseball team where they were just this major team. They were a bunch of 11 and 12-year-olds, and they kept on losing game after game. Finally, they were in the dugout one game, and they were just losing like crazy. And they were talking about the assistant coach's sister, Coach Richie's sister. She was 13, and she was, you know, they thought she was attractive. And they kept on asking Coach Richie, hey, does your sister like to skate? Does your sister, what kind of food does she like? And the manager hears this team talking about this, and he gets in there, and he's mad. He says, listen, team, get your head in the game. If I hear you talking about anything other than baseball, you're all going to do laps. I don't care if we're in the middle of a game, you're going to do laps. No more talking about anything except baseball. So there was silence in the dugout. Then all of a sudden, one of the boys said, hey, Coach Richie, does your sister like baseball? You know, something could just dominate your thinking, and over again. That was the Apostle Paul. It just dominated his thoughts. He had a passion to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians 4:3. Lynn read it earlier today. It says, Paul said, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. Notice here that he's in prison. He's not saying, please pray that I get out of prison, or please pray that my life is better. He's not saying any of that. You know, he's saying, please pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. That's what his prayer is. Pray that I may speak this message so clear that lives will be turned to Christ. Not pray that I get out of this situation. So Paul's thinking is dominated with the gospel. And I believe that for us, it's the same prayer that we need to be praying as believers in Christ. Because Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He said, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. See, we learn in this parable that Jesus takes the initiative, and when Paul was living, Paul took the initiative. And for us, we've got to do the same thing, because Jesus is no longer on earth, Paul is no longer on earth, but what we have is the body of Christ that is here on earth. And how does God reach people? He does it through you and through me. We are ambassadors of Christ. We represent him. We're his ambassadors, as though he's making his appeal through us. Some of you might be thinking, oh, great. He wants to use me to do this? I can't. But you know what? God can use you. and God can use me just through our lifestyle, just by the way we live, so people can know that there's something different about us. And also the words we speak, sharing our faith with people, in something simple as inviting them to church where we will give them a chance to receive Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And we've got to really become serious in these last days about this calling that we have. Many years ago, I remember I was performing this funeral service, and I had to write this eulogy on this person that I didn't know. He wasn't a part of my church. And so I started doing all the research for this eulogy and talking to family members. And, you know, I found out that this man was probably the furthest thing from a believer in Christ that you could imagine. He was just completely wanted nothing to do with the Lord. But one of the family members, you know, on a funeral, you always want to speak good things about, you know, your family member. And one of the family members got up and said, "Yeah, right now my dad is partying with the man upstairs." And it made me think that, you know, a lot of people, they have no clue. They're deceived about what happens to them when they die. I want to tell you, your family member that doesn't know the Lord, your coworker that doesn't know the Lord, they're not going to be partying with the man upstairs. They're not going to be partying with the man downstairs, in fact. There's no party in hell. In fact, the Bible describes hell as a place of torment, a place of misery, a place where there's gnashing of teeth. And that is why God wants us to seek lost people, because he knows that they're in danger, and he wants to save them from eternal damnation. It's God's heart in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, it's God's heart that no one would perish, because God loves and he values lost people, and he seeks them out, and he searches for them. And today he does that through you and me. And then number three, finally, after he finds them, after they repent and they give their life to the Lord, when the lost are found, all of heaven rejoices. That's the party. For one sinner that repents, there is a party in heaven. This is what truly makes God happy. Help find someone find Jesus as their Savior. You've just made heaven extremely happy, because now the lost is found. I've been married 16 years now, and I'd say 95% of our fights relates to Mindy losing things, but saying she doesn't lose things. That's kind of what she's known for in my house. She's, "Okay, where are the keys? We gotta be in church. Mindy, where are the keys? You had them left." "No, you had them. Mindy, you..." But so, you know, it's kind of the way it is in the Johnson house. A couple years ago, she left her wedding ring on the nightstand, and I thought it'd be kind of fun for her to think that she lost it. So I've grown up a lot in the last 6 months. But so I hid this ring for a couple days, and she was so concerned that, in fact, the first day she didn't even tell me she had lost it, because she didn't want to, you know, revisit that same argument. So finally, day two or day three, she says, "Man, Johnny, I don't know what I'd do with my wedding ring." It's like, "Okay, Mindy, it's the same patterns." You know, but after day three, I finally let her know I had it. And after she bruised my arm, I can still feel it, she was so happy. She was just like rejoicing. It's like, oh, she was relieved. She was just overjoyed that what was lost was found. And I believe that God feels the same way when lost people are found. He rejoices. He is happy every time someone steps across that line and gives his or her heart to the Lord. Do you believe that? Now, what about the flip side? How do you feel when something is lost, like something valuable, like her $300 wedding ring? But how do you feel when something is lost and it can't be found? It's not a good feeling, isn't it? I believe it breaks God's heart when lost people perish. I really believe that it breaks his heart. It makes him sad. And you know what? I truly believe that God's heart breaks over Tucson. I know it. The latest statistics from the Pastors Association, they said that it's estimated that 7% of Tucson attends church. Now, we don't know, I mean, that includes all churches. That includes Catholic churches, and only God knows the heart. We don't know, you know, who are truly saved, but it's estimated that only 7% of the population go to church. And if you think about it, lost people, they're in our neighborhoods. They're on our teams. They're at your workplace. They're in your school. They may even be in your extended family. And when I read that book by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life, he asked this question in there. He says, who will be in heaven because of you? I've thought so much about that question. Who's going to be in heaven because of me? And then even a more scary question is, who won't be in heaven because of me? Who won't be in heaven because of you? Maybe what you didn't say, you know, maybe you were too ashamed to invite them, to let them know that you're a believer. It's a question that really haunts me. Who might someone miss out of heaven because I wasn't there to share what God has done in my life? Because I don't want to get to heaven one day and think, oh, Ron is not here because I didn't say something to him or invite him to church where he could hear the gospel. I don't know about you, but I want to live with that same purpose that Jesus lived, to seek and to save those who are lost. We're going to come to the Lord's table right now. The cup that we're going to drink, it's a reminder of what Jesus did on the cross, how he shed his blood for the saving of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And this bread that we're going to eat, it's symbolic of Jesus' body that was broken. It provides for every provision of our lives when he died on the cross. There's provision in his blood and his body for healing in our bodies. Maybe this morning there's some kind of infirmity in your body. It might be spiritually or emotionally or physical. It's all been paid for on the cross of Calvary. But this morning, I would just want to ask all of us just to bow our heads right now, because I don't want to leave this morning without giving you this chance right now. If you've never said yes to Jesus, to just invite him right now into your life. Maybe this morning you identified with that lost sheep. Maybe you've never said, Lord, I want you to come and give me a new life. I want you to come and save me. I want a different reason for living. And if that's you and you want to open up your heart to Jesus, I'm going to ask you in just a moment just to raise your hand. There's no one looking around except me and God right now. But I just want to know who you are so I can pray for you. And I'm going to ask everybody to pray a prayer together. But if that's you, if you've raised your hand and you're saying you want Jesus into your life, in just a few moments, there's going to be, as soon as we say amen to that prayer, there's going to be a big party in heaven. I want to tell you this. The day I gave my life to Jesus, it was the best day of my life. It was the best decision I've made when I said, yes, Lord, I want you to be the one that's in control of my life. And today could be the best day of your life if you've wandered from the Lord or if you've never invited him into your life. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now, and we're going to pray. Is there anybody here? Amen. Anyone else? You want to say yes to Jesus? Lord, I want you to be the king of my life. All right. Would you repeat this prayer after me? And maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you still want to pray this prayer. The Lord knows your heart. And if you say this and you've never said this before, the Bible promises you that you're going to be saved. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of living my way. From this day on, I want to live your way, Lord. Forgive me of all my sins. Purify me by your blood. Come into my heart right now and save me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. For the rest of us, I want to give you a challenge right now. I want to give you a challenge to invite one person or one family unit. Either invite them to church or look for an open door to share what God has done in your life. I'm just going to challenge you to do it this week. Maybe there's someone that you know that doesn't know the Lord. I know all of us know people that don't know the Lord, but it just takes that courage to realize this is God's heart. I want this to be my heart too. But so that's what this challenge is. It's to me too. Let's find someone we can either invite to church or that we can share our faith with. Have a spiritual conversation. Don't be afraid, because God will give you the words to say. Just rely on His Holy Spirit. That's what Christians do, by the way. We rely on His Holy Spirit to give us the words to say. And maybe for some of us, before we eat and drink, maybe you're realizing for you to do that, you've got to be in right alignment with the Lord. And this is the great time to rededicate your life to Jesus, to say, Lord, I've had different priorities. I haven't been aligned right, but I want to get back on track today. And I want to do it for one reason, the cross. Because on the cross, You did everything for me. The least I can do for You is do what I'm called to do as a believer in Christ. Amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come right now? As you receive these elements, would you just hang on to them? And then we're going to eat and drink together. Lord Jesus, we pray Your blessing right now over this bread and this cup, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done on the cross for us, Lord, so we can have life. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And if I...
We're an anchor for those who are hurting. We're a harbor for those who are lost. Sometimes it's not always easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, 'cause of all that He's done for me. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be I'll give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every moment His hand has shown mercy. For all the love that He's shown in my life. A simple thanks doesn't say how I'm feeling. I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I am not afraid to be counted, but I'm willing to give my life. See, I'm ready to be all you want me to be. I'll give up the wrong for the right. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel, 'cause I've got too much behind me to let this world blind me. To some, he's a name, but to me, he's my everything. I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat, do so in remembrance of me." Can we eat together right now? In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink, do so in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Amen. Lord Jesus, this morning we've remembered, Lord. We've remembered, Lord, what you've done for us, Lord. We remember, Lord, the price that was paid so we can have everlasting life, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this morning we would also just renew our passion, Lord Jesus, for the things that you are passionate about. I just ask you right now, Lord Jesus, to give us a new fervor, Lord, in our being, Lord, that we would want people to come to a saving knowledge of you, that we wouldn't take the cross, Lord, for granted, but we would keep representing the cross, Lord, and we'd be these ambassadors, Lord, that you've called us to be, Lord. And I pray that in your precious name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this song in closing. And I want to be more like you. And I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. And I want to be more like you. All right, let's lift it. I want to be more like you. And I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. Oh, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel. I want to be a vessel you work through. Lord, I want to be more like you. Amen. Well, we've got some EGs out as you leave, little frozen drinks. Why don't you grab one as you're going out? It'll cool you down, refresh you a little bit. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Basketball, if you're going to sign up for basketball, please do it. I'm thinking, man, what's he doing over there? Yeah. But why don't you sign up? Even if you weren't thinking about signing up, this would be a great opportunity for you just to have some fun. It's going to be good. I'm playing. Look at me, so anyone can play. So, all right, you're dismissed. God bless you all.